Randolph County and from miles around. Everybody loves that smooth sound. Radio and Sparta means WHCO.
Car folks on the go, it's 1230.
That's WHCO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know. You're welcome on WHCO.
WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, a People Speak.
And good morning. I'm Jeff. This is The People Speak. Hope you're having a good day. Nice sunny Thursday morning here. And we're going to be talking today. We're going to be actually on site over at Pinckneyville at the fairgrounds, the American Threshmen's Association's annual steam gas and threshing show going on through this weekend. And Richard Blakely from Southern Illinois Sports Productions, that does some of the sports here on WHCO, is on hand over there. Richard, how are things over there?
It's an early morning here at the fairgrounds, and people are starting to show up, and going to have a great show. We have Josh Giacomo with me. Josh, welcome.
Thank you, Richard, for being here.
Josh, this is what, how many years I've been doing this with you, talking to you now? Several, I know.
Several. Several.
And the show's getting back to a little bit more normal this year after the COVID years. Yeah, the show this year, we don't feature a national show because COVID kind of throwed us off on our features, but we're making the best of it. Still going to have a really good show. We're featuring Minneapolis, Moline, Ford, and Leader. So if you got one of them tractors, bring them out. And there's still time. And this is Thursday morning. The show goes through Sunday. There's still time to get a tractor out here, something, and get in the show and let people see what farming was when this started.
Yeah. We really focus on the heritage of farming, probably 100 years of farming. We start with the horses, then we go on the steam engines, then we do the prairie tractors and the regular tractors. We do earth moving now. We've got a lot of working stuff here at this show. I was talking to one of the gentlemen that has some of the earthworking equipment, excavating equipment. He's talking about the show. Now, that's something, as you said, they just added this year.
Yeah, they added earth moving in 2019, so it's been going on a couple years.
Okay, I missed that.
But yeah. Anyway, let's take a break. I think we got to get a break in here early, and we'll be back and talk a little bit more about the show today. You're listening to The People Speak. Jeff, back to you. Back here right after this break.
Back here at The People Speak, and again, we're talking today, Richard Blakely over at Pinckneyville, the American Threshmen's Association, steam gas and threshing show going on, and Richard, I guess things officially kicked off this morning, looking at the schedule here.
They kicked off at 9 o'clock with a flag racing ceremony here at the fairgrounds, and Josh, explain a little bit about what's going to happen this weekend.
In the morning, we do our horse thrashing events.
That's Friday morning.
Well, we do it every
morning.
Yeah, every morning. And then we run our train daily. We have a working sawmill. There's just a lot of activities. When you get here, you can pick up the full schedule so you kind of see what areas you want to go to when. There's just a lot of stuff to do, a lot of things to look at. We have a huge flea market, a lot of good food to sample and try.
Well, that's part of the reason I come out here. I love fair food.
Yeah.
And this is just exactly what fair food is.
Yes, it is.
And this is the 63rd annual show here. So that means I was 9 years old when it started.
Yeah, it started in the first 2 years here in Highland, 60 and 61. And then it's just at the 60th year here at Pinckneyville this year.
And how did they choose Pinckneyville as their home for this show? I'm not 100% sure because I'm too young, but they came down here to help them with thrashing. I think they was thrashing for a festival anniversary at the fair, and then it just continued from there. And it's been here for 60 years. And I don't see it leaving. I mean, you got everything from garden tractors that we see out here to our right. And there was a gentleman by here on a garden tractor, four-wheel drive. It looked like some kind of Alice Chalmers.
Yeah.
And it was first time I'd seen anything like that. It was really neat. So, and I don't know if that was custom made or whether it was a manufactured job. Yeah, I don't know. But to put on this show, it takes a whole lot of volunteers and help from a whole lot of people. You know, we got good sponsors that really help us through the years with equipment, money, and there's just volunteers from all over the place to come to help make all this work. You don't put a show on like this, you know, hiring everybody. You have to have volunteers to come in and do that. And we have one of the volunteers with the students from one of the local schools that come in and help you with parking on our different days. And I have one of those volunteers, Jason Huseman, coming in a few minutes as my last guest here.
Okay.
Yeah, but the FFA does our parking. They do a wonderful job. We got new gate help this year. The football team and the FFA is going to cover that, and I hope that works well for them. But if it wasn't, it takes a whole lot of work from a whole lot of people to make this show go on. And it's just not old tractors and old equipment. It's a little bit of everything around here. There's a little bit of everything around here. But we really focus on the old farming and heritage and try to keep it alive so we can show people how it used to be and, you know, how things have changed and evolved over the years, how things have changed in my lifetime. Because a lot of these tractors sitting around here, not necessarily this Minneapolis Moline sitting to our left immediately, but a lot of the tractors I grew up seeing and using. Now you go out to plant your crop, you got a computer in a cab, it's all computer generated. I mean, it's just amazing how much is done now in technology and farming.
Yeah.
If
if your GPS and internet goes down, you're not doing anything till they get it working again.
Ain't that sad to say?
Yeah. And that's the truth.
It is the truth and everything. Josh, now what are you going to be doing this weekend other than running around supervising everybody?
Well, I got to put out all the fires around, and we're going to be running the Bessemer engine down there by Gas Engine Hill and the great big Fairbanks Morse tugboat motor. That's the main thing I'll be trying to make sure runs.
All right. Let's get Bill Jansen in here, as he is going to be, or Bill is trying to join me several times doing this. And Bill is the head of the steam engines here at the Thresherman Show. There you go.
Thank you. All right, we're ready.
Bill, thank you for taking a few minutes this morning. Thank you for taking a few minutes.
You're welcome. I'm glad you're here.
Hey, you're head of the steam engine department, or the steam engines here. I don't know how you want to phrase it, but welcome to the area, and you've been here many years.
Yes, I have. I am 65 years old, and I've been here since I was five. We live 125 miles north. Dietrich, Illinois is our address.
I've actually done a basketball game there.
Is that right? Well, it's a good little town. We're in the country. We farm. But I've been coming a long time, and we've been doing the hauling of the steam engines and big prairie tractors since 94. So I make a lot of trips to Pickneyville.
You know the roads well.
I do. I know which ones to be on and which ones are rough. So we have 12 steam engines here this year. And
that's a good number. Is that up for me?
Usually 10 to 15 in that area. Illinois has a very strict boiler law. We have to have everything really good.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it costs a lot of money to keep these things up and going. And we're in it. My grandpa owned a steam engine, but we're in it to show people how other farmers back in the day had to make a living with all this equipment, just not the steam engine.
Not the steam. You know, that's what I was telling Josh. This Minneapolis Moline, say out here to my right, the bigger one, that's not, we used Oliver's, but it was something of that nature is what I used when I was on the farm in the 70s.
And that tractor you're talking about is what replaced the steam engines back in the day. The steam era was about 1900. The big era was from 1900 to about 1910, 20 or so, and by 1925 or so, they're just not too many built anymore. They were so much work, high maintenance, and people thought there's got to be an easier way than fire steam engine all day.
And with a steam engine, wasn't it, you almost had to oil certain gears on a regular basis, and
every day.
Took a lot of time and a lot of, as you said, maintenance.
Well, so if you were going to thrash, this, the guy that run the engine, the engineer, he had to be there 2 hours before anybody else to build a fire and get steam out. And then when he was done, he had to go check his engine and do a lot of maintenance in the morning. And they were just a high-maintenance machine, but they were very powerful. And at first, when the gas tractors come out, a lot of steam guys didn't want them because they didn't have enough horsepower to do the job. So, but we're very fortunate here in Pinckneyville, Illinois. We have two Case 110s. They were the biggest case that were in production. And you'd have to drive a long, long way to see two of them at a show that actually will go out. We'll both plow tomorrow. I'm just doing the plowing today. But that's a big, big deal.
Oh, it is. I mean, and to break the prairie ground open the first time with horses was a struggle. And when you got the steam engine, that made it so much easier, because that prairie soil, especially in central Illinois through Iowa and Nebraska, on into the Dakotas, that was some tough ground to break open.
And these plow engines we got here, these Case 110s, that's what they were built for, to break the prairie soil, mainly out west where the fields were huge. And their lifespan was very short because they were so heavy. Ours weighs about 50,000 pounds. And they were so heavy, there wasn't a bridge that would hold them back in that time frame. They'd have to go through the creek or the river couldn't have been very deep if they crossed it. But they were monsters back in that time. And when they got their work done, the second time around, they could plow it with tractors or whatever to make it easier.
And that was just the evolution. And it's farming is evolution. Has changed so much just in my lifetime. I mean, when I started, the first planter we used on the farm that I remember was a two-row front-mounted planter on a Oliver 66, I think.
And it's two-row
planter, two-row cultivator. Then when it really got big, we went to four rows.
Mm-hmm.
And I left the farm in 1980. We had a six-row planter, 30-inch rows. And we used the same planter and put extra boxes in for beans at 15-inch rows.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where, just in my lifetime, where it's went, where you got 24-row planters.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the technology and weed control and management is just so much
different. It is. And we're fortunate enough to be modern farmers, and we farm fairly large, and we have modern machinery with computers and the self-steering and this, that, and everything else. So when we get done showing our steam engines at different shows we go to, we really appreciate the modern technology we have today, because we could not raise the yields we raise without the chemical, the seed, and the technology of some of this equipment to get the acres covered. And, you know, this world's not getting any smaller, so we got to keep producing so everybody can eat.
When I was, again, in the 70s and early 80s, when I was on the farm, if you raised 100, 125 bushel acre corn, 30 bushel beans, you had good crops.
That's right.
And you go back to that time frame. And now today, you better be getting a 200, 175 bushel.
You want a two in front of the corn, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But, no, this show is really, really a great show to come to, because there is so much activity here, like the farmers did it back in the yesteryear, if you will. And not every show has this many opportunities to see all this stuff in action.
Again, it's what I remember how farming was when I was on the farm. And to see it today, and I still have some contacts with the farm. I've got Stepson Farms, 2,500 acres or so. So I stay in touch with him and know a little bit about it. So it's just changed so much.
It has. I want to say something about our ITPA tractor pulls we have Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. So two of the pullers that's going to come this weekend pull in Louisville, Kentucky at the National Farm Machinery Show. And they interviewed the top three guys in each class after their class is done. And two of the pullers, they were asked, where's your favorite pull at? They said, of the American Thrashman Show in Pinckneyville, Illinois. Now, that says something for our tractor pull here.
It does.
and you want to see good tractor pulls, come out here.
That is exactly right. They're the best in the state of Illinois, is what a lot of tractor pulls tell us.
Yep.
Richard Farthing does a superb job of building a pulling track that takes horsepower, and that's what them tractor pullers like.
Anything else we need to talk about?
Well,
we got into more technology.
We did.
I'm sorry.
I don't know who ordered the weather, but I want to commend them.
It is nice.
It is very nice.
Compared to what it has been, we've been here.
It is very nice. And since I'm the steam guy, if somebody wants to come out and they want to get on the engine, look me up. I'll get them up on the engine. I'll let the youngsters blow our whistles. And we want them to get to be part of it, too.
It's an ongoing history class.
It is. It really is. It really is.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being here.
We're going to take a moment out and have a word from our sponsors. We'll be back with Jason Houston with the volunteer group here at Pictiville, one of the FFA groups that's here helping out. Back in just a moment. You're listening to The People Speak on WHCO.
And we'll send it back over to Pinckneyville to the American Threshmen's Association show and Richard Blakely and his guest out there. And I can definitely remember my times over there with the Boy Scout tent. And you're talking about the weather. It's definitely good weather for this event.
It is, Jeff. It's great weather out here. We're back here, and we've got a few more minutes. I'm Jason Huseman. He is a FFA teacher, ag teacher, FFA advisor for Trico High School. Jason, welcome.
Thank you, Richard. Thanks for having me.
And what is Trico doing, or Trico students doing up here today?
Well, honestly, we're doing a little bit of everything. I've got some kids working the registration area. We're parking cars and parking trailers. Whatever they tell us we need to do. They contacted me about 3 years ago about bringing some kids over, and I averaged about 10 kids the last couple of years, and they said that one of the groups canceled for admissions this year, so could I bring 14? So I've got 13 kids over here today.
That is good, and it's good for them to see. They're all probably farm kids and see what farming is today. It's good for them to see what it was 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 60 years ago.
Yeah, without a doubt. Every year especially this year, that with the number of kids that I brought over, we give them breaks and haul them out, let them watch the threshing, let them watch the steam engines pull the plows, let them watch the steam engines do the jobs that they were built to do several years ago. And it just, with these kids, I know I've got one boy that pulls a 60-foot grain cultivator, so to see where it's at now, with the equipment that he runs compared to the equipment that used to be run, is just kind of awe-inspiring and jaw-dropping.
It is, and for you to bring students over, you're not the only school. I know Pictiville has students here. I'm assuming other schools do as well.
I know that me and Pinckneyville are working today with Mr. McAllister. DuCoin, and I'm bringing more kids back tomorrow. DuCoin's bringing kids over here Saturday, and I think it's just mainly Pinckneyville. So the three schools that are close, being me and Pinckneyville and DuCoin, I know that we're working over here.
And that's good for the local students. As you said, it's a history class for them. But it gets them out and meeting people. It gets them that opportunity to see and meet people that they would never get a chance to opportunity to talk to.
You are exactly right. We were parking cars out here on Ballpark Road, and the kids were just kind of standing there. So I told Mr. McAllister, I said, I'm going to go up here and train them. And they're like, what do we need to do? And I said, walk up to the cars and talk to the people and tell them what you want them to do. And we met a man from Mississippi. And I said, see, we're meeting people already. And just the what we're all about with the FFA, the public speaking ability, the leadership qualities, the kids really are putting those to test and to work today and tomorrow and while we're here.
And that is something, as you said, for what FFA is all about, and that is good for the chapter kids to be here seeing all this.
Yeah.
And it's good for the chapter financially.
Financially, and it gets them just as a whole. I my administration, the first year I asked Mr. Lovell, and I think it was Mr. Riley at that point in time, if I could bring kids over here, and I took some videos and posted them on our FFA's Facebook page, and Mr. Levelson, I think we need to send a field trip over there. And it just so happens that every year we've been working, so I've brought kids over, and like I said, the Threshermans are kind enough to pay us for our time. And it's just brings it all together as what I preach in classroom. It's following the FFA motto. We're serving our communities by helping out these clubs. Last year we worked the Red Pie Roundup and the Threshermans. So getting to meet people from all over the United States and putting forth our foot to build the next leaders for the future.
And that is exactly what you try to do here. And I said, what's your favorite? What do you want to go see every year when you come over?
I love watching the steam engines pull those big 18 bottom plows or however many, where they've got the plows full of people, and watch the people actually stand on the plow and push it in the ground and pull it up. And with me and Mr. McAllister were over a while ago, and they were getting ready to run a sawmill with the steam engine. That I couldn't imagine. The guy in charge that was helping the kids, he said, "We want to come back with all 10 fingers."
Yeah, I mean, it's a chore. It's not just something that you can do. You mentioned the people on the plows. They have to have a person there raising and lowering each plow.
Yes.
On that plow. I mean, so if you've got 10 bottom plow, you got to have 10 extra workers there to just raise and lower that plow for each bottom.
Right, and it's just listening to them steam engines chug along, and they're running smooth, and they're just keep working and keep working and keep working. Where being a living on a farm myself, and you start to hear tractors bogged down and think, okay, I need to shift down, and there's no shifting down in these steam engines. They just keep pulling and chugging right along.
It's a different era, and I didn't see them work, but I saw old tractors. I said, my first tractor I was telling Bill, but I saw plant corn and plant beans, was an Oliver 66 with a two-row mounted, but you had a trip on it.
We had one of those at home, and we ended up selling it to a family member who wanted to use it to plant sweet corn with it. So, yeah, just the way the technology, and we talked about the sawmill operator telling the kids that how far the equipment has come as far as safety goes and everything else, but it's just like the power that those steam engines can push out and keep chugging and keep chugging and keep chugging is awesome.
Well, we're about to run out of time here this morning on the People Speak. We got a couple more minutes to talk. What else? I mean, we've got the garden tractors over here, and I mean, we've got everything that you can imagine, and the horses. Now, I did harness a team of horses many times. I was probably only maybe 16, 17 years old last time I did it, and that, I don't know if I could anymore. But what they do, first time I saw them baling hay with a team of horses was here. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen it here, but when my daughter bought it, we got my daughter a horse when she was in junior high because she wanted to show horses, and I actually saw a team of horses and Amish baling hay in central Illinois up around Arthur.
And it's where the horses walk in a circle and the hay goes in a...
Yes.
Yes.
And that was just... And I'm thinking, I hate throwing hay. I couldn't imagine doing it like that.
I agree. I said, that's just one of the things. That's the first time I saw it was here many years ago.
Now, I watched them thresh straw last year, and that was the first time I'd ever seen that, and that was really cool. Now, I really like sitting across from us, those steel wheel tractors. I think those are just cool. It's like you said, the lawn equipment all the way up to the huge machinery compared to these big four-wheel drive tractors over here sitting next to us, and how far the equipment has come and technology's came. And I read something the other day where everything has to start as an idea, and to come up with people that came up with these ideas to keep bringing this new technology forward.
Jeff, I think we're about out of time. Am I correct on my clock?
Probably.
Still got about a minute left here.
Pardon me.
I said we still got a minute to go, so I mean, if anything finally you wanted to throw in there or whatever.
Jason, what do you think you need to look at? Give us a couple things you want. If you were never been here before, what would you first thing you want to go see?
Out there to the steam engine. That's by far one of the coolest things. Whether it's plowing the fields or threshing the straw or over here at the sawmill, and the little steam engines all the way up to the huge ones are just awesome.
And they use steam engines. They have the big ones you talk about plowing with, but they had smaller steam engines they used, you said, at sawmills or used in other jobs on the farm at that time.
Oh, yeah, just everything. And we talk about PTO safety in class and with the equipment now and everything. Then was belt driven for the sawmills, or you've got these little steam engines that are about the size of a push mower and they're doing heavy jobs. And if it's old tractors, I just, anything from the mini mow sitting here to the old farm mows to the, I just think it's all cool.
Well, Jeff, we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you very much. You've been listening to the People Speak here at Thresherman's. Come on out. It's today, tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday. I'm Richard Blakely.
Thank you, Richard.